League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sweat the technique. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Let's go straight out to the HR&P guest line, being joined by the voice of the Houston Astros, Todd Callis. Our conversation presented by Texas Star Grill Shop, Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. Start shopping for your new vehicle at LanceZCars.com. TK, you probably already filled out your box score here, but first time that you're putting Kyle Tucker in it since June 3rd. What do you expect Kyle Tucker to do now that he's back? How long do you think that it'll take him to get back in form?
I think it'll take him the next week or two to try and get back into form. He's not going to be running 100%. So I just hope he can hit the ball out of the ballpark maybe once or hit a double once. He's not going to be running at 100%. He's not going to be in the field. Obviously, he's DH tonight, so Jordan's going to play in left field. So I just want to see Tuck get in there and get his swings. I'm not expecting it to be like the Kyle Tucker we saw before the injury, but hopefully he's 90% of Kyle Tucker is better than an option they would have had otherwise in the lineup.
TK, I'm just curious your thoughts on the roller coaster. You know, it just seems like a microcosm of the season itself. You come off the home sweep of the Royals. Everybody's feeling good. Everyone nationally talking about this being the team to beat. Then they lay the big egg over the three-game series against Cincinnati, and now the sky is falling again. We know that this is a good team. We know the roster, and with getting a guy like Kyle Tucker back, if he contributes, could make this a great team. But, you know, give the fans that are listening a little bit of a kind of a chance to catch their breath and realize, hey, this isn't a bad team. These things happen.
Yeah, we talk about it a lot, how this is the best reality TV show there is the Major League Baseball season. There's so many ups and downs. There's so many plot twists. You never know what's going to happen. There's no way you could have predicted coming off that series sweep of the Royals that they were going to go into Cincinnati and play as poorly as they did. They did not look like a playoff team in Cincinnati, but they looked great before that. They won the last game in Philly, and they swept the Royals, and they looked like they were going to just cruise on to the AL West title. But here they are, having lost a couple of games in the standings the last couple of days. Now they're playing a very good Arizona team. The thing the Astros didn't do well, they didn't really hit well. They didn't play great defense the first day or so. They need to be sharp on defense against Arizona. Arizona is going to put pressure on you. They're going to make sure that you respect every 90 feet on the base pass. So if you're not hustling after a ball, they're going to take an extra 90 on you. So the defense really has to be better today than we've seen, or better this weekend than we've seen maybe in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Because the Astros have not played their best defensive baseball over the last month or so. So, yeah, there's still, 3.5 weeks to go. It's going to be a fight. It looked a little better before Cincinnati than it did after Cincinnati, but maybe they can get it turned around here against a very, very good Diamondbacks team.
Todd Callis on the HR&P guest line, and you can't have it all if you're an Astro fan, TK. You can have Kyle Tucker back, but you can't have Alex Bregman, it seems. Still dealing with that, still dealing with the elbow. Is it still the same for Bregman, kind of, you know, playing it day by day, seeing if there's gremlins there that day, if there's not gremlins there that day?
Yeah, it's kind of tough because Joe Espada put two or three lineups out every day before he gets to the ballpark based on Alex's status. And he's got one with Alex playing, he's got one with Alex DHing, one with him at third base, obviously, and one with him out of the lineup. So, yeah, it's not easy, and you're right. The Astros fans have not seen Tucker and Bregman and Alvarez and Altuve and Yiner all in the same lineup since before June 3rd. So, it's going to get there. There's going to be a day when that happens. Hopefully that's going to be also in the playoffs too. But right now they keep kind of piecing it together and trying to get to the finish line with a less than 100% healthy roster.
Well, let's turn the page to the pitching staff a little bit, TK, and look at Arrigetti. Let's look at the fact that for as great as he was in August, we come to September. Some people were, you know, whispering, was he tipping pitches? What was going on? he completely melts down in that first inning against Cincinnati. And again, I call it the Janet Jackson philosophy, but what have you done for me lately? Forget what you've done in August. Suddenly everybody hyper panicked about Spencer Arrigetti. What did you see? What do you think? And how much concern should there be?
First of all, he beat Philadelphia and Baltimore back-to-back starts on two hits in 3 hits. So Spencer Arrigetti is not going to do that every time. And so you can't anticipate that what he did in the previous road trip was going to carry over as well in Cincinnati. At the same time, obviously, what he did in Cincinnati is not what we expect from him in the future. So somewhere in between, probably closer to the Baltimore and Philly starts, he's a very, very good pitcher who is figuring it out as he goes along. That Cincinnati start got away from him. His command wasn't great. His defense behind him wasn't great. He could have gotten out of that first inning with 3 runs if Jeremy Pena made a play on a very hard hit ground ball. But it was one of those games that spiraled, and he just wasn't able to get it turned around. So I fully anticipate when he pitches against Oakland, even though Oakland hit him pretty well in that first start coming out of the All-Star break, I fully anticipate to see the Spencer Arrigetti that we saw in August as opposed to his first start in September in his next outing.
Fromber tonight, who's been unbelievable for the last handful of starts, probably even a couple of handfuls of starts. It seems like the curveball is being added back to his arsenal. He's getting the swing and miss like he used to. Has been phenomenal. What do you think the Astros with Murphy and Miller and the analytic department, what do you think that they've added to Fromber's repertoire?
I just think they've encouraged him to throw the curveball more because it's such a big weapon. It's one of the best pitches of any pitcher's arsenal in all of baseball, maybe top five. Like, it's that good. So I just think they've encouraged him to throw it more often. He kind of got away from it last year a little bit when he started to fall in love with the cutter. But the curveball plays. It plays behind the count. It plays to get ahead of the count. And it plays especially when he needs a strikeout. So you're right. Fromber has been Hunter Brown and Fromber, Spencer with that one start, the blip. But those three guys, you say in August, was very good as well. It's been fun to watch. I expect, you know, Fromber to go out there. He needs to stay locked in. We talk about it a lot with Fromber. This is a Diamondbacks team that will try to get you off your game with the way they run the bases and try and take the extra base and even steal an occasional bag. So he just needs to stay locked in and not let anything get him off his game because when he is focused, I'll take him about over almost anybody in the game.
TK, JV, we heard Joe Espada talk about the fact that he talked about the fact this is basically like spring training for him. He's trying to knock off the rust. He's trying to fine-tune some things. And obviously not pitching the way he'd like to pitch. But as you look at this between now and the end of the regular season, how critical is this for him and for this team so that you know that going into the playoffs, not that you're going to get the old Justin Verlander back ever again, maybe like he was previously, but you get a really good Justin Verlander for your rotation for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's significant. I think in JV's career, he's never had to worry, even back to his early days with the Tigers, he's never had to worry about feeling good going into the postseason because he's always been the ace of his team. And this year, he has not been one of the top pitchers for his team in the last month or so. So over the next 3.5 weeks, I think you're going to see Justin have to get a little better. I don't think you're going to see Justin just automatically get handed the ball in game one of the wild card series if he's got a 5 ERA in September. But I think he will. I think he will get it turned around. I think he's a guy that tons of pride. He's 41 years old. He knows what he needs to do to get himself ready. You can look at it as a spring training, but he needs to get better here in the next 3 or 4 starts, or else then there is a concern for Joe and the pitching coaches to try and get Justin right. So I think he's going to be fine. I believe in Justin Verlander. I will always believe in him in a postseason start. And just hopefully he has a little bit better starts here lately than we've seen in the previous 2 or 3.
Diamondbacks have been red hot. It'll be a good test for the Astros this weekend. Some of their better pitchers on the mound. TK, have a great call. We'll be watching.
Yeah, it's not me tonight. It's Etch. I'm off the broadcast this weekend, but Etch will be filling in tonight. Julia tomorrow and Etch on Sunday, but I'll be back in there for the rest of this season. Yeah, I'll be back in there for the rest of the season. Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, Todd Kalish joining us on the HR&P guest line. Our conversation presented by Texas Star Grill Shop and Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. Start shopping for your new vehicle at LanceZCars.com. LanceZCars.com. I didn't realize he had the – nice of him.
I didn't either.
To join us whenever he's vacationing. Can you believe – what a guy. What a guy, Todd Gallis.
Yeah, and but remember, he stayed the extra day when they left Philly because he had family there and friends or something like that. And I thought, well, that was going to be the series he was going to be off. But, I mean, yeah, I missed DK on the broadcast. Esch does a nice job, but I love those two guys together.
Is it time for Yordan to go back to the three-hole with Alex Bregman? Well, he's not available today. But assuming if Alex Bregman was available and now with Tucker back, does it make more sense for Yordan to go back to the three-hole as opposed to the two-spot that he's been hitting? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. A week from tomorrow, it's the Bayou Bucket, and it's time to celebrate Houston at the Bayou Bucket. Houston, it's time to come together as we celebrate the city we call home. Whether you're Houston Cougar, whether you're a Rice Owl, you call Houston home. And on September 14th, a week from tomorrow, your Houston Cougars clash with the Rice Owls for the Bayou Bucket. More than just a game, as we know, it's a celebration of everything that makes Houston great. It's about pride for both teams. It's about bragging rights for the Cougars and the Owls, and it's more importantly, celebrating the great city that we love, the city of Houston. Gather your friends, wear your red, and show your Cougar pride. Get your Bayou Bucket ticket special at uhcougars.com/promo. That's uhcougars.com/promo. All you have to do is enter promo code RICE24, RICE24, to get tickets for just $10 in the 200 level at TDECU Stadium. So uhcougars.com/promo. Enter that promo code RICE24, and you can get those tickets. Come early, be loud, and wear red.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Is it time to move Yordan, Blankers? Kyle Tucker's back. Now, you don't have the luxury of Bregman. Like, you don't have the luxury of Bregman tonight. And as you heard TK say, a spot is filling out a lineup card for Bregman at third, yeah. Bregman at DH, Bregman not playing, Bregman whatever. Every single lineup card that is possible, a spot is filling out coming to the ballpark. But what do you think he should do with this lineup when it's hopefully everybody's at full health?
Yeah, I think when everybody's at full health, I would feel comfortable putting Bregman at the two. If that's what he wanted to do. But honestly, to me...
Bregman or Espada?
I mean, Espada putting Bregman... You can move Bregman up in the lineup. But to me, I like it where it's at with Altuve at one, Yordan at two. I would hit... Yeah, Bregman's a tough one for me because I would actually put Bregman in between Yordan and Yiner and then Tucker at the five until Tucker shows that he's ready to get back and moved back up. Ideally, if everybody's healthy and 100%, then that would probably fluctuate again and Yiner would move down. But for right now, until we know what Tucker can be, until we get fully healthy, I like the top of the lineup being Altuve and Yordan. And then it just becomes, do you like Yiner behind Yordan more than you like Bregman? I would trust Bregman and then I would go Yiner.
Yeah, at full health, I think you got to go with Yiner in the five spot. Like, uh-huh. your top four guys, I think, currently are Altuve, Bregman, Tucker, Yordan, in whatever order. I'm not a huge batting order guy. Like, I believe in getting your best hitters the more plate appearances possible. I'm also more of a believer in the importance of the cleanup spot than Espada is. Espada has kind of devalued that cleanup spot. He thinks the leadoff spot, the two-hole, and the three-hole are more important than the cleanup spot. I personally don't agree with that. I think Bregman's is a good leadoff because he sees a lot of pitches. He draws walks. He's the prototypical leadoff man minus the lack of speed. Altuve's not your prototypical leadoff man because he doesn't see a lot of pitches. He doesn't draw a lot of walks. But they're never going to move Altuve out of that leadoff spot. So I would probably go Altuve, Yordan, Bregman, Tucker, Yiner. That's probably what I would do.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. And then it gets interesting, but at least stronger bottom of the lineup based on some of the options you found in Gamble and with Pena, and then whatever you want to do in center field.
Yeah, I mean, center field's going to be Myers when he's back.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I say that for sure, but, you know, Jake's also got a little something to prove offensively. We know defensively he's fine. It's interesting to me because of the fact that what they're going to do at left field. And I know that, again, they talk about resting guys too and moving Dubon around a little bit. But when it comes down to the playoffs, I'm really interested if they're just going to go with the best offensive lineup and put Yordan in left and put Yiner at first and put Caratini behind the plate.
Yeah, I think they'll do that especially against these. I don't know if you'll see that a whole lot against righties. Like, right. I still think they're going to give Singleton at bats. And I think they like to give Singleton at bats against right-handed pitching. And plus, I mean, this is something we don't really talk about when we have these lineup conversations. Otto's pretty regular when it comes to who's catching certain pitchers. He likes to have personal catchers, and that's not really a modern day manager's viewpoint. That's more of the, you know, old school Dusty Baker type of manager. And Yiner's had Hunter Brown, you know, Yiner's had Framber Valdez, and those guys have been pitching good. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't think that Yiner's going to play first base on days that those guys are pitching. You know, maybe it's just Caratini, but I'm curious what they do at first base against left-handed pitching when Yiner's catching, because that had been DeZinzo. That can't be anymore because they sent DeZinzo down. Is that going to be the heck with the whole lefty-on-lefty thing? We're just going to put Singleton there? Is it going to be, well, Victor Caratini can play there, even though he's not a right-handed hitter, a left-handed hitter? Is it Mauricio Dubon? Is it going to be Bregman? Is it going to be Bregman plays a little first base?
Because
remember, he was taking ground balls there, and we thought that he was a day shy of playing first base, and then all of a sudden he was playing third base. So I'm very curious to see what they do at first base when a lefty starts and Yiner catches.
Yeah, because of the fact that one way or another, if Bregman's at first, then you would assume, what, Dubon's at third, and then vice versa. If Bregman's okay to play third base, then I would think that Dubon's one of your options at first base now. And you see what, again, are they going to go for the defensive aspect of things? Assuming Bregman's healthy, you would have him at third base. But then offensively, you make a great point about the fact that, you know, the fact that Yiner's had success with the two guys at the top of your rotation. Then if you don't want to mess with that and that's what you want to do, yeah, then you just flip them. And then I would assume that Caratini is an option for you to play first base.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle all of this. The bad news is that no one's been right. It feels like you haven't had all four of these guys. Really, you haven't had, especially five. If you want to go to Yiner, like, you haven't had all five clicking. Like, you've had all five in the lineup, but early in the year, Yordan wasn't Yordan. It took Yiner a little while to get going. It took Bregman 3.5 months to get going. You haven't had Kyle Tucker since June 3rd. Like, you haven't had these five guys, like, in their, you know, full totality of who they are.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's when you look at this and say, that's why it's fair to point out the fact that we haven't seen the best of this team yet, and that there's still so much hope with this team, because if you could get all hands on deck, and it's a lot to wish for or to hope for when we don't know what you're going to get from Kyle Tucker, and you're hoping that by the playoffs at least something's been figured out so that Bregman can play third base. But those two guys in a nutshell already are so hyper important to this team's overall success. But it would be nice to see just at the end of the season if they could all get to their full potential of health, and then see what this team could really be, because I think that we would really see a lineup that's very complete and very dangerous.
Astro Girl, Yordan is rushed, batting second behind Altuve. Put him in third. Also more opportunity for Yordan to get more RBIs. Yeah, I mean, that was kind of a narrative early in the year, but, I mean, Yordan had some huge games recently, batting second behind Altuve. So I think we put too much weight in batting order. I think we put too much weight, little things like that. I believe in Yordan Alvarez getting more at-bats. Like, it was one of the games in Cincinnati, actually, where if Yordan got to the plate, he represented the tying run. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't have been possible if he was batting third. So it goes both ways. You know, we probably spend too much time arguing batting order whenever I don't think it's that significant. Now, if you're batting like Yordan ninth, then let's have a conversation. But how much different is him batting second versus batting third? I don't think it's a great difference.
I agree.
I think it's very marginal.
I know when we've talked about it in the past, you mentioned
713.
I was going to say, you mentioned the fact that the biggest drawback is if you're batting third, there's a chance for you to come up with two outs and nobody on, especially in the first inning.
9012, I wish they would have kept DeZinzo and dropped Chaz. I am surprised it's not the move, but then the lineup came out tonight and Chaz was in center field and not Myers. So it makes me think that Myers is, yes, he's activated because they had to activate him after 3 days. Makes me think that Myers isn't with the team yet. 5643, a caller on Dell's show this morning was crushing Tucker, calling him a bum, saying he's holding out and won't be back this season. He said he would come down to the station and eat crow if Tucker played a game this season. 5 hours later, here we are. Yeah, let's see if that guy goes the route of that Florida State dude who said he was going to eat dog poo.
Jeez.
Yeah, I bet you that guy doesn't come to the station and eat crow. That's just my guess.
Right. Now, will he delete? Yeah, we don't know. We don't know what his social media accounts look like.
Yeah. It's a little different when you call. 60-30, the lineup did seem best when Bregman was second. Yordan was three. I think it does play a role. Okay, but Yordan had like a three-homer game batting second. Like, they've both had good games batting in different spots in the lineup. And then, you know, I guess Tucker in this scenario would bat fourth. Are y'all not happy with Singleton at first base? I'm okay with Singleton at first base against righties. Mm-hmm. He's been terrible against lefties, although he did homer the other day against a lefty. And his defense leaves much to be desired. That's where I stand on Singleton.
That's the biggest thing. The fact that if he could just be steady defensively, you know what he can do against right-handed pitchers enough that he's been doing it all year where he's picking up knocks and the occasional home run where I would feel good. His defense was better in this last series. I would think that it's going to be a platoon system, but I'm not disappointed like I was at the start of the year with John Singleton.
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Philip from the Woodlands, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Philip?
Hey, guys. I was going to mention, if Tucker is healthy enough to do some running, I like him in the two hole, and here's why. If Altuve doesn't get on, but Tucker does, which, you know, is a decent shot, you always figure, you know, 40% chance they get on base, right? Then let's say Altuve doesn't get on, but Tucker does. He is a threat to steal second. Then you're inviting them to pitch around Yiner, and then you either have, pitch around Yordan, and then you either have Yordan hitting with a guy in scoring position, or they pitch around him, and you have first and second one out for Bregman and Yiner. Which either way, you win in that scenario, I think. But the other thing I wanted to say, too, was Singleton in the nine spot I like, in the sense that, I mean, his on-base compared to most nine hitters around the league is not that bad. And you can always pinch run for him then. So if it's late in the game and you're trying to get a run across, you know, he gets a walk enough that he gets a walk with nobody on at the top of the lineup coming up, you can pinch run for him. And then you got some speed in front of those guys. And that's all I was going to say. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Philip. Thanks for listening. I don't think he's ever going to bat Singleton in the nine hole. I just think that, you know, he's going to look for a guy that can, you know, do the things that he's been doing, like Philip said, about getting on base and having a decent eye. But I think he looks to try to, if there was ways with the kind of way they've been struggling with the bottom three spots in the lineup, if there's ways that there was one guy that's been a little bit more reliable, he can put in like seven, I think that's where Singleton normally belongs.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in Singleton in the ninth spot against righties. And the whole pinch running thing, like, just pinch run for him anyways. Like, right. Who cares where he's at in the batting order? I mean, you're going to want to play – you're probably going to replace him defensively anyways. And Singleton does get on base a good amount, especially against righties. I don't hate his idea about the top four. Now, the counterpoint to that would be a lot of managers like to keep their runners, speedy runners at first base with lefties up. You know, if you have Yordan or Tucker up with Altuve at first base, do you want to run Altuve? Potential to run into an out. Secondly, you move the first baseman. You know, you have a bigger hole on the right side when the first baseman's holding versus not holding a runner. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Rob, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. Yordan hitting third behind Bregman only works in those 3 weeks of the year when Bregman's hot. I think right now his elbow bothering him. I think he's getting under the ball again, popping up everything left and right. I would either put Yordan or Tucker back in the two hole, and then whichever one in the three spot with Diaz hitting fourth and Bregman hitting fifth. And now if Bregman turns it around and gets hot again, then I'd bump him back into the two hole, no problem. But like you said, with Yordan's power and Tucker's power, I'd like to get them as many at bats as possible.
Appreciate the call, Rob. Yeah, look, a little Breggy catching straights there. I don't see them. I don't think they're going to tinker too much with Bregman at this point in the season. So, yeah, I mean, I prefer Altuve and Yordan up on top, and Bregman, you know, you want to sprinkle him in 3-4. I think that's where they're going to end up settling in with when Tucker's, you know, as good as he's going to be.
To Rob's point, though, why not play the hot hand? Like, why be married to one thing?
Bregman,
you're rolling. You're getting on base a ton. Let's give you some at-bats in front of Yordan. Okay, Bregman, you're struggling. Back down, you know, behind these guys. I think that's the one thing that we kind of lose in analytics is like, oh, this guy does this versus lefties. Oh, this guy does this versus righties. Oh, this guy hits with this situations. I think a lot of times we're like, well, what has he done in the last 30 days? Is he in good form? Is he in bad form? I think oftentimes we lose sight of that. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get to DJ Bieniemy. Covers the Houston Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. He'll be in Indy to see the Texans and the Colts. We'll get his viewpoint on things when we return. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. DirecTV and DirecTV Stream customers, you have lost ESPN, including college football, Monday Night Football, ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball, SportsCenter, and more. Take action now. Call 844-KEEP-MY-ESPN or visit keepmyespn.com.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Let's go straight out to the HRNP guest line, being joined by DJ Bieniemy, covers the Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. He'll be in Indy to see the Texans take on the Colts. How do you see this game playing out? This game has so many fascinating storylines. They've kind of, you know, bickered at each other a little bit. We've talked, like, how severe is this rivalry? Anthony Richardson played two series against the Texans in early last year, but he scored on both of the possessions. Texans have added to their roster. Like, there is a lot of intrigue here. What are some of your favorite storylines?
My favorite one is how does Stephon Diggs look with this new offense? How do you look with CJ Stroud? Because, again, one of the reasons why people think this team can be a Super Bowl contender isn't because they got Daniel, isn't because they got Aziz, isn't because they got Joe Mixon, right? It's because they got Diggs to put Tech Town and take him over the top. So, like, that's going to be the main thing I'm paying attention to, is how lethal and how prolific can he be to kind of take this offense to the next level, right? Because, again, like, I think if they don't get Diggs, I don't think people are talking about them as the Super Bowl team that could possibly take down the Chiefs, because if they only added Daniel and Aziz and Joe Mixon, you basically would have been, you know, kind of, today they would have upgraded, obviously, from Gennard, but a slight upgrade, obviously, you replace Aziz. You replace Blake Cashman with Aziz. That's an upgrade, obviously, but those, I don't think, would have been the upgrades that alone would have made people think that this was a Super Bowl team. So, for me, it's big. I want to see how he looks. I want to see how his offense is flowing, because the team's only going as far as the offense takes them.
DJ, watching what we've seen of the past of Richardson and knowing what we know about a healthy Jonathan Taylor, we know that they are going to be very run heavy, and you know that the Texans are going to have to stop the run. We haven't really seen Settle. We know that Foley's in the middle. What's the concern level for you in terms of a team that basically came out at the end of the year with D'Amico and everybody else and said, we are going to upgrade our ability to stop the run? Well, front and center, game one, you are going to have to stop the run. How do you feel about that and what they can do?
I feel solid. Obviously, you know, I can't say I feel great about the ability to stop the run. I feel solid. I feel like there's going to be some moments where they're able to, like, slow down Jonathan Taylor. There's going to be moments where Jonathan Taylor and AR kind of do their thing, because they're just both that dynamic. It's kind of hard to envision that they're going to totally shut them down. But I feel solid. I think it's more about, can they limit the frequency where their running attack is able to get them in second and manageable and third and manageable. If they can limit that, then they'll be fine, right? As long as they don't give them too many explosives and they don't give them too many runs that have them in second and manageable and third and manageable, because that's extended drives, right? Because obviously they're going to have some drives where, you know, JT kind of goes, you know, has his long run, or AR might have a long run or two. It's going to happen. They're dynamic runners, so it is what it is. You can't. They're not going to completely shut that down, especially in week one. But how frequent do they have those runs that make it second and manageable, third and manageable? Because that's what's going to be able to keep them on the field.
Because if that's the case, then now the game will look a lot different. It's going to shorten the game and, you know, keep the Texans great offense on the sideline. But if they can limit the amount of time that they have, you know, those type of runs that make it second and manageable, third and manageable, then, you know, you'll put the Colts in third and longs. And I think you put the Colts in third and longs, you'll be in a great position.
Who do you think is more dangerous, Anthony Richardson or Jonathan Taylor?
Oh, I mean, Anthony Richardson. More dangerous? Yeah, Anthony Richardson. I mean, mainly because he's got a quarterback position. So if he's dangerous and he's making plays with his legs, then that means that should open up some of the pass game for him, right? And, you know, he's going to have a little bit, could be easier for him to kind of get those freebies. Because, you know, Shane is going to have plays saved up to use specifically that the Texans haven't seen that can, you know, create some explosives in the pass game, right? So if he's getting running plays that are effective and he's scrambling and making plays out of nothing, that's only going to save those plays that DeMeco hasn't seen that they can use to also gain extra explosives, right? But if you limit that and now they use some of those plays that they probably have that we haven't seen, they're probably going to, you know, have some success and be effective. If you can limit the amount of runs or the amount of dangerous dynamic plays that they have with him on the ground, that's going to, you know, I'm not saying limit the passing and play, but what I'm more or less saying is, you know, when they finally go to those plays that we haven't seen, let's say, like, if they do it, like, on the 20 and they get to, like, the 40, all right, cool. But if they save it and he has a couple of dynamic runs and now they're on the 40 of the Texans and then they use one of those plays, now they're on the 20, maybe the 15, now they're on five scoring position. You know what I'm saying? So, for me, that's what makes him more dangerous is there's going to be plays that we haven't seen yet. So if he's rolling, then that's only going to make them more dynamic from a multifaceted position where it's through the air and through the ground.
DJ, just similarly to the Texans have to stop the run, it would seem to me the biggest advantage the Texans have is their receivers against a probably less than Colts secondary. How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I mean, again, like I was Googling it today. Juju Brents and Jalen Jones, you know, they obviously played a lot last year. Obviously, they had Kenny Moore in the slot, very respectable nickel. But the other two, right, like last year, they both combined, I think, gave a pass rating of 100, like even combined it together, passing like 100. Juju was at 102, and Jalen Johnson was like 97. Or reverse, but either way, like 97, 102, that's still hot. That's still a lot. And they both gave multiple touchdowns. A lot of touchdowns and obviously yards. So for me, it's a massive mismatch for the Colts and a massive advantage for the Texans because they had time to block. She had time to block. He'll be able to deliver the ball when he needs to go. And it should lead to a lot of explosives, should lead to a lot of points. I just don't see a scenario, right, where the Colts can't get pressure. How are they going to guard these guys, right? Because we know where they're going to be. They're going to be in a lot of cover three. They want to go cover one? Cool. I mean, good luck trying to have your three guys guard the Texans three guys. They want to go cover zero. Really good luck because you're going to have Juju and Jalen Johnson or Baker. You're going to have them one-on-one with no safety help in the middle because once it gets vertical, it's basically you're on an island. So I just don't know how they're going to be able to cover these guys without pressure. So it's a massive advantage to the Texans. I wouldn't be shocked if they put up 40 this week.
Wow. DJ, what's your prediction in this division? How many games do you have the Texans winning?
I think they probably win like 10-11. I've kind of backed off some of my Colts stuff, mainly because, you know, just the reports coming out of camp, it seems like I've read a lot of solid when it comes to Andrew Richardson from a passing standpoint, and solid isn't going to win the division, right? You're going to need to be a good passer, right? Like, the Bengals report, the Bengals report, but when they had joint practices, the reports coming out of that, where you had Bengals players saying, does all this guy do is run? That's super concerning, you know? So I kind of moved up that thing between Texans and Jaguars. But the Jaguars, with their schedule, I think this thing is pretty daunting, too. So I think Texans probably win 10 games, maybe 11, win a division towards the end of the season. Sorry, between them and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, I think Texans probably win the division. And, you know, that was a playoff game. But we'll see what goes from there, because I think the bottom of the AFC is going to be pretty lethal. Because let's say there's a chance you could have, Baltimore or Cincinnati or the Jets or Miami or Buffalo coming into your building in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, that could be, a very, very tough out. Because I think, the Bengals and Ravens, one of those teams, both of them will make the playoffs, but they both can't win the division, so one is going to be on the road. And then I think the Jets could be really good. If Aaron is healthy, they'll be really good. That's going to be a tough matchup, and I think they'll make the playoffs. So I think the AFC East probably has three teams to make the playoffs, and I think either the Jags or Texans win the division, but I think Texans win it, the Jags probably miss. That's going to be tough, right? You're going to have those three teams with those three quarterbacks with those three weapons coming into your building. So we'll see where it goes from there. But at that point, once you get in, you got a shot.
DJ, I'm curious if you watched the game last night. And if you did, we saw what looks like a much even improved offense with the Chiefs. And we saw a Ravens team that's still plenty talented. How would you say, before they even play a game, you see them more than we do, how does the Texans team stack up against those two teams after what you saw last night?
That was the game last night? I had no idea. No, I'm playing. I think that the Texans actually they match up better with the Ravens now compared to last year, because I think their tackle situation isn't ideal, right? And I think with Daniel and Will, that could be something, because the Ravens' whole offensive line is completely brand new outside of the center and the tackle. But everybody else is new, right? They locked in off the right guard, they might have lost the left guard, and the right tackle, the right tackle, Morgan Moses to the Jets. So I actually think, after watching last night, if the Ravens don't get their offensive line situated, it could get pretty funky. And honestly, after again watching some more of it, right, the Texans obviously got to figure out what they're going to do with Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. But on the perimeter, their receivers do not scare me at all. Now with the Chiefs, I think that's going to be a fight for their life. Mainly because, again, Mahomes, Andy, their front looks even better. I like their secondary. The Chiefs, from what I think they match really well with the Texans, and the Texans match really well with the Ravens. But I don't think the Texans match that well with the Chiefs right now, but it's early, you know what I mean? What's the team look like in December? But I think that just with the Ravens, because that's quote unquote kryptonite. It looks like when it comes to the trenches, the Texans might be able to exploit their offensive line. Now, their defensive line, the defensive front, obviously they still have some success. I can't even put too much stock into, some of the plays the Chiefs scored on, because some of it was just either a gadget, two touchdowns, one was a gadget and one was a broken coverage, right? It's week one, I can't even put too much stock into that, right? Maybe it would be. But I do think that the Chiefs' speed could cause some problems for the Texans. The defensive line could cause some problems for the Texans, because Chris Jones, they don't got nobody on the interior that's going to be able to handle Chris Jones, right? And Chris Jones, what he does, he opens up a lot of one-on-ones for everybody else. So that's going to be, something to watch for. And obviously the Texans, the Chiefs' interior offensive line could be a strength against the Texans, right? Because the Texans' interior defensive line is kind of shaky, right? We'll see what it looks like when DeMeco actually gets back, though. But I think, it's going to be an interesting chess match. But I think against the Ravens, I think the Texans might have actually made up some legitimate ground after what I saw last night.
DJ, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate the time. Safe travels, and we'll catch up next week.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
That's DJ Bienemy. Covers the Texans for ESPN and ESPN.com. Who said it? Who said it this week? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Hey, bettors. It's Branham here to tell you about my favorite sports book and casino, and that's BetUS.com. Football is back, so it's time to get in on the action. I endorse one sports book and casino, and that's BetUS. If you want a game plan to win this season, then check out BetUS. BetUS went large for you this season with a huge offer. 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right, 125% bonus on your first three deposits. BetUS offers value other sportsbooks simply do not. Gamblers insurance, crypto bonuses, casino bonuses, plus they have all the products you need. Competitive odds, parlays, live betting, odds boost, and prop betting. It's all very, very fun. When you're ready to lay down your bet, give your bet an edge. Why not combine your sign-up bonus with knowledge? Get that knowledge with expert analysis, picks, and predictions on all major sports on their very own BetUS TV. Get started today at BetUS.com, BetUS.com, or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS. That's 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS, where the game begins.
It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
All right, who said it? Let's get right into it. Brian's going to read to us five quotes that were said by ESPN 97.5 hosts, and then we guess who said it. Brian, quote number one.
Quote number one. Honestly, the NFL should be embarrassed to be associated with Applebee's. Sorry to all the fine workers out of Applebee's. I'm so loyal to Chili's. There's no way in hell you'd ever get me to go to Applebee's.
I mean, initial reaction is Joe George.
I don't know. I wouldn't put Applebee's past Joe.
Okay.
I don't think Granato or Paul would eat at a Chili's or an Applebee's.
Granato, no. Lance, probably not, but he's got
I disagree. I think Lance eats very lowbrow.
Oh, I don't at all. He hangs with all these chefs in town, and he's always, like, going to the chef's restaurants for their special dishes and all kinds
of... Yeah, but you can do both.
Okay. Well, who'd you think?
I initially thought Lance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is Dell in the equation?
I don't know if Dell would eat at a Chili's or an Applebee's.
Dell doesn't want to take it. He doesn't like to be seen a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if he would do that. So you're Joe or Lance? You're
I think that's
Joe.
What it's come down. Yeah, I think. I mean, just an initial. But you're right. I see what you're saying in the fact that depending on where the deal's at, I don't think Joe's turning it down.
Yes. Yeah. Joe's words don't always equal his action.
Okay.
We've learned that the hard way.
Yes, we have.
You call it. See how hot you are. Heat check.
No, I don't feel really strongly. I just feel like that my initial reaction when Brian read it. Brian, one more time, please, quickly.
Honestly, the NFL should be embarrassed to be associated with Applebee's. Sorry to all the fine workers out of Applebee's. I'm so loyal to Chili's. There's no way in hell you'd ever get me to go to Applebee's.
Yeah, I heard it the second time. I'm still here, Joe.
All right, let's try it.
All right, we'll try Joe George.
Honestly, the NFL should be embarrassed to be associated with Applebee's.
Wow.
Sorry to all the fine workers out at Applebee's.
It's not your fault.
I'm so loyal to Chili's. There's no way in hell you're
Joe's actually a big fan of Applebee's. I found out in that segment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, I think Joe's probably a big fan of Chili's, too, though, right?
Probably, but his love for Applebee's came out in that segment.
Really?
How do you have a love for either?
I don't know. Paul is a big-time Chili's. He tells a whole story about being disappointed when his dad wouldn't take him there. Apparently, he's a big Chili's guy.
That stuns me.
Yeah. All right, quote number two. I'm going to say something about Spencer Arrighetti. I hope that he doesn't take it personal because I think we all agree he has had a really fun season. He's got a lot of potential. I'm not giving him a playoff rotation spot. He's officially out. He's the first Astros starting pitcher I'm officially ruling out of that rotation.
Huh.
Man, you see John saying that? I don't.
Yeah, I could see him saying it. I think it's more Lance.
Yeah, I could see Lance saying it. I could see both of the G's saying it. And I could see Dell saying it.
I don't think it's Dell.
Okay. Any reason why?
I don't think it's Joe. Yeah, I was kind of buttoned up for baseball talk.
All right.
See, you made me say why, and then Brian uses that against us in the future.
Yeah, there was a key to the last one that I had to bite my tongue on because I was going to make a cadence comment.
You mean the one that you got wrong?
Yeah, shut up. I could see Lance saying it.
Let's do it. Let's go with Lance.
All right.
I'm going to say something about Spencer Arrighetti. I hope that he doesn't take it personal because I think that we all agree.
Back-to-back Paul. The baseball aficionado.
Yeah.
He's gonna win out.
He knows Paul.
Thanks.
All right, quote number three. I mean, at some point I have to let go of this, but when I think back to his freshman year when he won a national championship at Clemson, and just like how good he was, and yeah, he was like the prince that was promised basically to the NFL, and it hasn't worked out that way. Talking about Trevor Lawrence.
I thought Deshaun at first. He could either be really, really, really BMAC-ish, and he could just go Paul again. Otherwise, I hear Joe.
No, I hear Lance or Dell.
I could see Dell as well.
You read it again, Brian?
I mean, at some point, I have to let go of this, but when I think back to his freshman year when he won a national championship at Clemson, and just like how good he was, and yeah, he was like the prince that was promised basically to the NFL, and it hasn't worked out that way.
I hear Dell Moore.
I think it's either Dell or Lance.
Okay. How strong do you feel about Lance?
Do you think that Dell would say the prince comment?
Kind of do.
Okay. That was my one hang-up.
Yeah, that's the catch I said. I could see Dell using that.
You want to use Dell? There's a lot of likes in there, though, which is kind of a Lance thing.
Yeah. Okay, so I called wrong. You called.
Let's go Dell.
I mean, at some point, I have to look
at
this.
Whoa, I talked you out of it.
Think back to his freshman year when he won a national championship.
Oh, he's cackling in there. I hate
this. How good he was.
D-Mac is really having fun now.
Best part of the show.
Yeah, shut your mouth.
All right, see if we can go for the 0 for 5. All right, here we go. Quote number 4.
John.
All right, lock it in. All right, quote number 4. Let him see the banner raised. Is he going to get processed while this is all happening? Probably, right? I mean, if you get sentenced today, I would imagine it's 8 to 10 hours before you're officially in a cell. Are they going to send you to federal penitentiary that doesn't even have DirecTV, an NFL Sunday ticket? I mean, what? What is this?
Rashi Rice?
No, this is talking about Chiefsaholic.
Oh. We would have been talking about Rashi Rice. Who's talking Chiefsaholic? Paul and Joe?
Yeah, it could have been the news of the weird, too, though. Although, I think that news broke later in the day?
It was on the front page of ESPN, and I'm trying to remember. I think it was mid-morning.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either.
You call it.
Yeah, I'm not real pleased that we're not going to win. Man, I'll go Dell.
Let's do it.
Let him see the banner raised. Is he going to get processed while this is all happening?
Show.
Probably. Right? I mean, if you get sentenced today, I would imagine it's like 8.
Can we get the 0 for 5? We're one away.
Use that shit.
From a perfect game. All right. Quote number 5. I think it's crazy to buy coffee from a coffee shop. Make it yourself. It's so much cheaper. It's like $5 for Starbucks coffee is insane to me. If Starbucks coffee was really tasty, fine. But H-E-B, Texas Pecan, or all the H-E-B coffees are amazing. All of them. I can't believe people just do the regular stuff.
This is either Paul or Dell.
It's not Blankers.
It's not me. It's not Joe. It's not Lance. It's not John. John has it set up so that he can double park his car at the Starbucks here, and he dials it. He pre-orders. Lance is always leaving his nasty, funky cups in here with his name on them from Starbucks.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the big ventis. Oh, yeah. I think this is either Dell or Paul, and we know.
I don't think Dell's going to know the H-E-B coffees, though.
I think Paul definitely is, and that would make 4 out of 5, which would be very BMAC-ish, of using 4 Pauls.
I don't think he's going to go 4.
I kind of think he does.
See, my initial thought was Lance.
Oh, Lance is Starbucks-aholic.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he does the iced coffees every morning.
Huh.
And he's a big NFL Network guy. I don't think he's worried about the $5.
Maybe Dell does know the H-E-B branded coffees.
Those are the. I think it's between the two. And
this
is
not a coffee drinker, in my opinion.
Okay.
I don't think it's a coffee drinker, because I think if you're a coffee drinker, you don't need like flavor. Like, you find good flavor in just regular coffees. You know, like, you want to find a good brew, but you don't need like the pecan and the San Antonio vanilla cream. Like, that's kind of soft, really.
I don't know. I mean.
So it might be Paul.
Paul's always looking for the free coffee in the kitchen, too. But I think that Paul's always looking to, with the with the money situation and talking about Walmart and all those things, that he would be aware of the pricing.
Could be Joe. No, Joe bought, well, the only time that I know that Joe used bought from Starbucks whenever he used my gift card to buy himself a coffee.
I do remember that well.
But I still think it might be Joe.
All right, well, I've given you who I think it is. You
call. All right, Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant.
I think it's crazy to buy coffee.
Good job. Good job.
At least we didn't get skunked.
Damn, I was one away from the perfect game. One away from the perfect game.
If Starbucks coffee was really tasty, fine. But HEB, Texas Pecan.
I can't believe what he buys Texas Pecan.
I can't believe he used four Paul.
Actually, I can believe it. I actually can believe it. I can believe it, but I can't believe it at the same time, if that makes any sense. Does that make any sense?
No.
Okay. All right. Which Houston team do you want to win a championship next? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.